Turn with me to page number 22 in the Blue Book. Lord willing, we're going to sing that first verse and the chorus. I want to say good morning to you. And I want you to pray for me this morning. Emmy doesn't want any of this going out. But the Lord has something special for us this morning. We're not going to be able to get it all, but we want to at least get a start on it. If you found that page number 22 in the Blue Book, I want someone to lead us with that first verse and just that chorus, please. What you hope for, it is seeing without sign. It is having lots of sunshine when all is dark as night. It is shouting out the victory while the battle still is hard. It is knowing that you have it, or you others know it not. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am free. Praise him in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Praise him all day long.
Yes.
God is the victor.
Yes.
And the battle's already won.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
By faith we know that he is the victor.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. All we got to do is stick with him. May the Lord help us this morning.
Yes.
Got to stand by him. Got to keep our hand in his hand.
Yes.
Praise God. God is still and yet on his throne.
Yes.
And so we're able through faith, through the eyes of faith, to be victorious even when all the odds are against us.
Yes.
May the Lord help us this morning. Inspired in the Lord this morning to go right on for the Lord.
Yes.
This message is entitled Illogical Faith. Illogical faith. And so I want you to pray for me this morning, because the enemy doesn't want you to get any of this. He doesn't want this going forth. But by the grace and help of God, we're going to serve him. We're going to live for him. We're going to be faithful in this dark and evil world. We're going to make heaven our home by the grace and help of God. Illogical means not making sense. It means not reasonable. It says it goes against the rules of good thinking and smart choices. It's facts that don't line up. It's conclusions that don't agree with evidence. May the Lord help us this morning. We are human beings, and we have the ability to reason and use logic.
Yes.
All right? But faith is something that goes beyond what logic would tell us. May the Lord help us this morning. Faith is what we see through the spiritual. May the Lord help us. We are physical beings. We are flesh, but we are also spirit beings. And so the Lord is wanting us, by the grace and help of God, to have faith in him. May the Lord help us this morning. Though the world be raging, may all the odds be against us. May it look like hopeless and helpless. With God on our side, it is illogical miracle for us to win, but through the eyes of faith, we are going to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. I believe God is right. I believe that in the end, he wins. I believe that by the grace and help of God, everything that I may face, everything that you may face, you can conquer and be victorious. But we're going to have faith in order to do it. And so it's illogical. Faith in itself doesn't make sense in the natural, but in that spiritual, the definition of faith says a strong belief. Number one, do you have a strong belief this morning? A belief do you completely trust in God? A strong belief or complete trust in someone or something, trusting in things you cannot see or prove with absolute scientific evidence. I thought that was interesting. It said you can't prove it with absolute scientific evidence. May the Lord help us. Sometimes we want to prove everything, and we want everything to be lined out. We want everything to make sense and go in order. But that's not how it works with God. Yes. May the Lord help us. We're going to come to a place, if we hadn't already, where there's nothing we can do about it. Right. Nothing at all we can do about it. We can't change anything. We can't change the circumstance. And sometimes what hinders our faith, may the Lord help us this morning, is the fact that we think that we can do things about things. And we think we're doing things about things. God's going to bring us to that place where there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I can do. All we can do is believe in God, believe in what he said, and stand on it by the grace and help of God. It matters what you do on a day-to-day basis. It matters if you exercise your faith, because you're going to come to a place where you're going to need to know the Lord. You're going to need to know that God is faithful, and that you and I can put our trust in him, and he's going to carry us through. May the Lord help us this morning. And it doesn't have to make sense. And it doesn't have to be like we want it to be. May the Lord help us this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. It ain't no competition. Faith is not a competition. I'm not going to outfaith you, and you don't outfaith me. We all need it. The Bible says, but without faith, Hebrews 11:1, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God, I believe that's 11:6, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the enemy knows that you need faith. And the enemy knows if he can hinder your faith, sooner or later he's going to hinder you altogether. I want to encourage you this morning to understand that God is a faithful God. You can put your trust in God. You can stick with God. He's going to stick with you. May the Lord help you this morning. May the Lord help me this morning. Enemy wants to hinder our faith. Somebody go to Hebrews 11:1 and read that for us. I want you to get a hold of what we're talking about. Faith is not no competition. We all in this race, we all can win a crown, but it's going to take faith in order to get it. May the Lord help us this morning. What does it say in Hebrews 11:1?
Now faith is the substance.
It says that faith is a substance, so it exists. What it is made of is the substance, right? If something is a substance, that means that's what it's made of. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things not seen.
Many times we want to see it to believe it. We believe that seeing is believing. We've been conditioned to believe if we can see it, if we can understand it, if we've learned it, then we believe that it's true. But I want us to understand that just because you can't see it with your natural eye does not mean that God can't do it. May the Lord help us this morning. And I want to encourage you another way too. God has been pressing upon me and giving me the understanding, and I want to share it with you this morning. You have natural senses that are God-given, but you also, as a child of God, have spiritual senses that God has given you, and he wants you to grow and hone those senses so that you can see by faith what you can't see in the natural. May the Lord help us this morning. May he stand by and be with us. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants us to grow in faith. There's a scripture that says, Lord, increase our faith. These were disciples talking about growing in faith. So this ain't no competition. This is not about doing better than brother or sister so-and-so. This is about having what is needed in order to make this Christian journey. And God's going to help us to have it. He wants us to have it. He's going to help us to do it. But you have to understand that you can't see it. If you could see it, then it wouldn't be faith, would it? You see, sometimes we want to see it. Lord, show it to me. Tell me how it's going to go. Tell me what's going to happen, Lord. Huh? We want that. It'd be nice if we could. Huh? When Moses was standing at the Red Sea, he didn't know what was going to happen. He had to trust God, but Moses had been trusting God the whole time. I want to encourage you to grow in your faith by the help of the Lord. I want you to put down your gavel and your robe, and so to speak. Stop worrying about what folks got and what they don't got. Get your own faith. Worry about that. May the Lord help us. May the Lord stand by and be with us this morning. God wants to help us. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. And so the definition by itself, we can't see it. And so if we can't see it, then how could it be? But God's able to work in what is not seen. It says it's the evidence of things not seen. And so our day-to-day life, I want to encourage you this morning to be working on growing in faith. There will be situations and circumstances that you come against that you can actually probably do something about. Listen to me this morning. I want you to, before you do something about it, ask the Lord about it. Yes. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I think I know what I need to do. But Lord, I want to involve you in everything that I do. Yes. And so, Lord, will you help me with this? Yes. Will you have mercy upon? These are what we call faith growers. These little tests, these little trials that he gives us, he's wanting to grow our faith. And he can't do it if we don't never exercise it, even though we have the opportunity to do it. May the Lord help us. All right, God wants us to walk in the Spirit. And one of those things that the enemy wants us to do is he wants us to walk in the natural. What happens is when we are, as children of God, when we are looking to live for the Lord, what the enemy is doing is he's working hard to hinder what God is trying to do. And so what he wants is, he wants you to be overly logical and overly analytical.
Right.
The smarter you are, or the smarter you think you are, the better it is for him. This is the truth of God's word. Do you know that God don't need your intelligence to do what he needs to do?
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yes.
And do you know that as smart as you may be, you don't have the answers to everything? And you can't fix everything? Yes. And God knows it, and even you know it if you're honest with yourself. Yes. And so God wants to help us to get out of the logical and the analytical and to walk in the Spirit. Yes. And so, Lord, I need you to help me to shut this brain off and then ask you what it is that you want in this situation. What would you have me to do? If I was Moses and I'm analytical and I'm smart, I got all Egypt all behind me, I'm going to do one or two things. We're going to turn and fight with what we got. Whoever makes it, that makes it. If not, let's start swimming. Let's start swimming because that makes sense. That's what I can see in my mind. But when the Lord says, take your rod and put it up in the air, I'm going to do something for it. That don't make sense to me. What is a rod up in the air going to do? You understand? But because Moses had a relationship with God, he had been through some things. He had trusted God on some things. He knew that when God said, put the staff up in the air, he knew, he didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew he was going to do something. Yes. May the Lord help us. And we're going to be in these places where we got a problem in ourselves. And we're trying to get victory. And we want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And we don't know what it is that we need to do, and God says, just pray about it. I want you to pray to me, and I'm gonna move some things around. I've messed up some situations, Lord. Some relationships are broken. I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and I'm dead over here. Pray to me, and I'll do something. That's what God is saying.
Yes, Lord.
May the Lord help us.
Amen.
But in the logic and in the analytical, we want to rely on those things because it seems so well, it seems to work out so well. I wanted you to know that you're going to have faith.
Yes.
You're going to have it. And so, yeah. So sometimes you're going to have to deal in what doesn't make sense. God is everywhere.
Amen.
He's omnipresent. That's what that means.
Yes.
He's omnipotent. There's no one above him. And he's all-knowing and all-seeing, and he's all-able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think.
Yes.
And so I'm encouraging you this morning to get to know the Lord in that way.
Yes.
All right? Because what will happen is something will happen, and we'll start scrambling around and do something in and of our own self and really, really mess some things up. And then guess who has to come help us out anyway? May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us.
Amen.
It's not seen. Faith in God is not what we see. All right, so sometimes we don't fully understand things. I thought about a child. When I was a child, they used to have gumball machines, little candy machines. I don't even know if they have them anymore. Maybe some people do. But when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, and you're in the store or wherever you're at, and you see somebody put a coin in this machine. You see the candy. You see the gum.
Right.
You see them put that coin in there, and they twist that knob.
Yep.
Presto, change-o, whatever it is, the candy comes out, and they're eating some real candy and gum. What happens is something happens there. You see it, and so now you want the coin, right?
Uh-huh.
In the same way, when we're dealing with the Lord, we see others, and this is why testifying is so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
We see others in battle. We see them going through difficulty.
Right.
And they rely upon the Lord, and the Lord comes through, and you and I are to tell about these things.
Yeah.
You need to tell somebody. Find somebody to tell about it by the help of the Lord. Lord, who can I tell? Because what we need is faith. If I keep that to myself, then somebody else is. The Bible says that we learn things when people tell us about it.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is if I keep that to myself, even though I got faith and I've been blessed, that somebody else that is struggling in that area, they can't see it, they don't understand it, they don't believe it, and so then they don't exercise their faith and they stay in a weakened condition.
Amen.
People got things that they're facing in their own personal lives.
Right.
Well, I don't want to tell you how God delivered me from X, Y, and Z. I'll tell you, I used to do some things I wasn't supposed to do. I promise you that.
Yes.
Take some substances into my body that wasn't supposed to be there.
Right.
And I ain't just talking about sugar and bad food either. But God has delivered me.
Yes.
And I'm still delivered today.
Yes.
What you mean? So, well, you can't tell me that God can't do it.
Right.
You can't tell me that he can't do it because it's been years upon years and years, and every moment of every day I've been delivered from those things, and they had a hold on me.
Yes.
So you can't tell me that God is not real.
Yes.
But I did have to exercise faith.
Yes.
That That doesn't make me anything special. It's good for me. I thank God for helping me to do that. But I said, Lord, I need you to deliver me from these things. Yeah. These things got a hold on me.
Right. Yeah.
And I need you to help me with these things. And so what he did, I'm going to show you kind of how God will work. He answered that request already. While I was, it's his will anyway.
Yes.
So he is answering that request as I was asking it.
Amen.
You understand?
Right.
But I didn't have the faith to take hold of the promise. And so he gave me lesser little tests and little trials and little small things. And he wanted me to exercise my faith. And so I learned, oh, okay, stop trying to fix it myself. And even this little small, these small little trials you having,
amen,
they matter.
Amen.
Big time. Because that's how we grow. And so when the enemy came in with these temptations, I knew that I could have some victory because I'd have some small little baby victories that the Lord had helped me through. And so my little tiny little, you know, the Bible talks about the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
Little old baby faith. Talking about you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. The Bible says it.
Amen.
And so the trial came, and those things that normally would overtake me and get the wind over me, and now I'm at the altar again. Listen to me. If you need to go to the altar again, go to the altar again.
Yes.
And get the victory.
Yes.
And don't stop till you get the victory.
Yes.
Be like Jacob if you have to.
Yes.
And wrestle and fight and battle until you get what you need.
Yes.
But God wants you to get up to a place where you got victory in that area.
Yes.
Then we go on to the next area.
Yes. That's right.
Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that would so easily beset you, and run this race with patience that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All right, and so God is wanting you to get that victory in that area. He's wanting you to keep that victory in that area, but he wants you to exercise your faith in order to get it. Because again, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is. And what else does it say? Not just that, but give me all of it. Okay.
Diligent.
You see, so you might have to. Diligence means you might have to come back again and again and again and again until your faith take hold and God can give you what it is that you need. It's not that he don't have it. It's that you need it, and so he wants you to put forth the effort to get it by the help of the Lord.
Right.
If God just give you everything before, with no effort, how is your faith going to grow? It's not. May the Lord help us. So God's wanting to help us out. He's wanting to give us the faith that we need. And so God wants to help our eyesight. And when I'm talking about eyesight, I'm talking about spiritual eyes. Now, this is important. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson. We need discernment. We need to be able to tell what is of God and what is not. Why is that? Because in Exodus 7 and 11 and 12, you had two people. Their names are Jannes and Jambres.
Yes.
And what they did was, Moses was doing some miracles before Pharaoh.
Yes.
And what they did is they began to mimic those miracles.
Uh-huh.
You see? And so remember, I told you that sin and self and the world, what it does is one thing that it does is it messes your eyesight up. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes.
Yes.
And so you might see something that looks like it is the same thing that God is doing, but it absolutely is not.
Right.
All right. And so the Bible says that in Luke 4 and 18, he says he's come to restore the eyesight. You think he was just talking about people with cataracts? And
no.
You think that's what he was talking about?
No.
He's talking about your spiritual eyes.
Yes.
When you were a young child and you had parents that loved and lived for the Lord, they said, we're going to pray for you. And you believed it immediately, and God worked and he dealt. But when you go out in the world and you come against all this deception and all this foolishness and all these lies and alternate ways of thinking and seeing things, now your eyesight has been affected.
Right.
You see? And so what we need God to do is restore our spiritual eyesight so that we can see who God is, what he is. If you can see who he is, you can see what he is. It ain't hard to believe in him.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. But the enemy wants to hinder that. He wants to confuse the issue. What he did over there in Exodus is he wants to confuse the issue. But did you read on, you'll find out that what happened was they got to the place where Moses took his staff and it turned into a snake.
Right.
A real snake.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jannes and Jambres, they did the same thing. What happened to their snakes? Moses' snake ate the other snakes and then turned back into a rod. It's showing God's dominance, his power, his might. You understand? And so we need God to bless our spiritual eyesight. I want my spiritual eyesight. I see the problem. I see the issue. Even if I think I can do something about it, the best thing that I can do before I make any move is, Lord, I'm going to talk to you about it. And I want you to know about this. And Lord, if you give me the okay to do what it is that I think I should do, I'll do it. But Lord, if you got something different, I'm going to do what you want me to do.
Yes.
Because it's of all you anyway. Yes. May the Lord help us. So the enemy is going to want to try to dull your spiritual senses. Yes. He's going to want to cover you, your eyes, so that you can't even see who God is. If you don't see who God is and you don't know who God is, then it's not a surprise that you wouldn't want to live for him. You don't have a good understanding in that area. Right. But God wants to clear that up and help you.
Amen.
And give you a good understanding. John 3 and 3. What does it say in John 3 and 3? May the Lord help us this morning.
And Jesus answered and said unto him.
Jesus answered, said unto him.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Again,
except a man be born again,
he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Are we? First of all, who's he talking to right here? Brother Nicodemus, right? And Brother Nicodemus, he wanted to know about living for the Lord. He wanted to be saved. And so Jesus was dealing with him about salvation and getting it under. A lot of us, we want to use human logic and analysis and all our abilities to rationalize Christianity. It's not going to work like that.
Amen.
It's not. It works by the power of God. It is a gift of God.
Right.
But in this verse, what's important that I want you to pull out here is it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking to brother Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we can go into the rest of the, and I encourage you to read the entirety of that exchange when you get time. The point is, a lot of people cannot see what's happening because they're not in position to see. I don't see why you would allow yourself to be reviled and you revile not again. I don't see why a child of God could be despised and rejected, but you have the grace and the love on hand to keep loving on and being kind to even those that's doing you wrong. You can't see it because you're not saved, you see. And so you don't understand what we're doing here. We realize we're in a battle for souls. Not only our own souls, but the souls of mankind.
Right.
And so we are servants and soldiers in the kingdom of God's army.
Amen.
And so what we want is we want God's love to be extended to those that need it. And so we see that. We understand that. And so we're allowing people to do us wrong, even when we shouldn't, in hopes that they'll see the love of God and see something different in us and begin to inquire, like Nicodemus did, what do you have that I don't have, and how can I get it?
Right.
All right? And so what's happening is, with your loved ones and your friends, or those that you see and you say, I don't know what's wrong with this person. They can't see the condition that they are in.
Right.
They don't see where they are headed and where they're going to end up at.
Right.
They don't see the love of God and His grace and mercy. They're mad that God, sometimes God is dealing with their hearts, and He deals with us sometimes. If He can't do it through just kindness and sweetness, sometimes He has to deal with us in a different way. But even that is mercy. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth.
Yes.
And so sometimes God is chastening us so that we will take a look at where we're going and what we got going on, so that we won't ultimately be lost.
Yes.
So what ends up happening is you can't even see it if you're not even in the kingdom. And so I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you in this area, the area of the eyesight. Lord, help me to see things in the way you want me to see it.
Yes.
Help me, Lord, to have faith and trust in you. I don't care what the problem is or what the issue is.
Right.
God is able and well able to give us victory in all of these areas.
Amen.
What would hinder us is unbelief, and what would cause unbelief is a lack of spiritual eyesight.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you this morning that God has these things for you. You can ask God to open your eyes. You can ask God to increase your faith. I believe that's in Luke 17 and 5. You can write that down and double check me on that. But those are that should be a prayer for all Christians. It's a prayer for me. I want to go to heaven.
Yes.
And so I want as much faith as I'm going to possibly need, because I know that the enemy is doing all he can to undercut and hinder and confuse the issue.
Right.
Yes. Amen. All right, so Romans 1 and 21, what does it say?
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
All right, so remember that we are flesh and we are spirit beings. This scripture is talking about how imagination and vain imagination, or our very thoughts, can hinder us from believing in God like we ought.
Right.
It says here in verse number 20, I'm going up one, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, we see what God has made around us. We know that it did not come from some fish in the water that then climbed up on land and turned into a monkey. We know that.
Amen.
Stop the madness. What are we talking about here?
Yes.
All right. We know that this is by intelligent design.
Yes.
We know that just the human bodies that we live in, it is impossible unless intelligent design were to do it. We know that God is real. That's what we're saying. But it says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God. So it's very important to be careful about what you know and hang on to it if it is the truth.
Right.
They knew God, all right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. All right. And they, it says here, neither were they thankful. So that's a problem there. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. The problem is, if you know truth and you go away from truth, if God is calling for you to exercise your faith and you won't do it, where can you go?
Amen.
If you're not moving towards God, then what are you doing? You're moving away from God. If you're not holding on to what you know to be right and true, to all you know and understand, and I understand that this is a learning way. I understand that it's a journey. I understand all of that. But you got today, and today you can put your time and your effort into pleasing and honoring God, what you know to be doing. Lord, help me to do that today by the grace and help of God. That's how you get strong. That's how your faith grows. That's how your sight begins to get clear and crystal clear, and you have a good understanding of what it is that God is and what he can do for you.
Yes.
All right? But if you don't do that, then what happens is you begin to do like in verse number 21, and you begin to go backwards. Your heart begins to get dark. Your imagination, you can come up with stuff. The mind, one thing about the mind, you come up with all kind of stuff.
That's right.
That's true.
People believe in anything but God.
Right.
Will worship an inanimate object for the entirety of their life, knowing that none of that is working.
Right. Amen.
I don't get it. You remember when Elijah, they had the contest, Brother Elijah? He said, call fire. He's going to call fire down from heaven. So they built an altar, put the water all around it, and he called on his God one time. And God sent that fire down from heaven, burned up the altar, burned up the dirt around it, licked up the water and everything else. Those other ones that went before him, they were praying to their gods with a little G and a little S. They were cutting on themselves. They were doing all kinds of things, and they never got an answer.
Amen.
I choose to believe in the one true God.
Yeah.
I encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
The one that made you, the one that made all of this, the one that has the whole world in his hands, your destiny, your eternal destination, he's got all that in your hands. I encourage you to get to know him, have faith in him, grow that faith, and become what God would have you to be if you're already not doing it. If you're doing it, keep on doing it by the help of the Lord.
Amen.
May God help us.
Yeah.
And so what's happening here, the devil fights so hard against our faith.
Yeah.
I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe we'll start in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pay special attention here. Casting down imagination, every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What the enemy is doing is he's fighting us in our mind.
Right.
And he's very effective because he uses our own logic and our own worldly wisdom to hinder faith in God.
Right. Right.
God is dealing with not me, not you, but all of us about faith. He wants us to grow. It's not about having more than anybody else. It's about having what is necessary to be pleasing and honoring unto God. Being in that place that God would have you to be. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to sound strange. It's going to sound illogical. But I told you about my vehicle. Y'all remember?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't turn left, right? Got in a situation where the car was coming, needed to turn left real bad. And so my faith took hold. It did. I said, Lord, help me. I'm about to get creamed here. And then I got my son here. He gonna have to drive home. He don't want to drive this big old thing. I said, Lord, help me. And in that moment, my faith took hold. Lord, bless me. Matter of fact, this is what I think happened. And this is what I think happens all the time. My little old baby faith, way down there, God's goodness reached down, way down there, and met my faith.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes.
Amen. And I've been driving and turning left ever since. I don't even think, I even do it with one hand off. I know I shouldn't. Y'all pray for me. But I like to roll to the left with a single hand action. Amen. Why? Because God did this.
Yeah.
I couldn't turn. I had to work with that wheel and fight it until it got that bind up point, and then it would get smooth, and then you turn. It was a mess. And this happened. Listen, this is I know this is true because it happened not one time, not twice, but three separate times before this last time, and God blessed it. It was in the shop for this issue. So now I know. How can you take that away from me if I know? I paid that bill, I can tell you that. And it was driving better once I got it back, and then it bound up again and paid the bill again. You see what I'm saying? But each time the Lord, the second time I had the Lord bless me the first time, I'll be honest with you, I ain't pray about nothing. Car ain't acting right, what do you do? Take it to the shop immediately, am I right? So, did that, didn't work, did it? Second time, I prayed about it, I said, Lord, bless these mechanics, help them out, Lord. Right? Third time, I prayed about it, and so God sent me somebody to my house. Hold on now, I'm going to tell you something. This man came to my house, unbound it for $50. Drove it for a while. It bound up again. I've been driving that car for months, maybe even a year now, since that incident. The Lord was able to help me to understand. It doesn't, listen, I agree with you, it don't make sense.
Right.
It don't make sense. And there's some other issues. We got some issues with these cars and all this stuff. They don't make no sense. I'm blaming the devil.
Yeah.
I am. I don't like him anyway. I don't care if I'm wrong about it. I'm blaming him anyway.
Right.
I blame him for all the bad stuff. I really do. He in there somewhere.
Right.
If they did, if they did it wrong when they made the car, then he had something to do with that. I'm blaming him.
Right.
May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
You understand? What I'm saying is, I don't care who did it, why they did it, and what for. I don't care why it's wrong. This is what God is bringing me to. Lord, I can ask you to have mercy and to bless and to deal. And you can either send what need to be sent, you can fix what need to be, whatever, however you want to do it, I could care less. Lord, I want you to do it, and I promise you, I'm going to tell somebody about it.
Yes.
I am.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about growing in grace, and we have to understand faith, and we have to understand that the enemy is going to fight that, because go back to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, you can't please God.
Right.
And so when you come before him and you've done all these other things, Lord, in your name, we did this, and in your name, we did that. Remember in Matthew, believe it's chapter 25, read about it. He's going to say, I don't know you. Not only do I not know you, I never knew you. And so I'm going to need faith. I need faith to get saved.
Yes.
I need faith to stay saved.
Yes.
I need faith to fight the enemy in these areas in my life. Let's just be honest and open it right on up. The problems and the situations that I have always dealt with or have been dealing with a long time that I don't have victory over just yet. Lord, I need you to help me to keep faith, help me to be patient, and Lord, I believe you're going to give me victory in those areas.
Yeah.
I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubt and fears. Broken vows and disappointment. Thickly, I want y'all to pay attention to that word. Broken vows, disappointment, thickly sprinkle all the way. But the Spirit led without error to the land I hold today. So I need faith to get saved. I need faith to stay saved. I need faith to deal with the issues and the problems in my own self, and then I'm going to need faith to deal with the problems that the world gives to me, other people give to me. Then I'm going to need more faith to give myself to him. In another way, Lord, I want to consecrate and give myself to you in a way that, Lord, you can take me and use me as you will. I am no longer my own. I am yours, Lord, by the grace and help of God. It takes faith. But if he can hinder us way back, maybe he'll let you get saved. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Maybe you can get saved, but right there in that area, remember the Israelites wandered in the wilderness how many years?
40 years.
Okay, 40 years. How long was it supposed to take? 3 to 11 days is the count. Neither one of that, 3 or 11 is the same thing, is it not? When you compare it with 40 years. So that's what the enemy's doing. If you saved, I want to encourage you this morning, you are saved. If you're up and down and having battles and taking some losses and all those things, if you still have a heart to live for the Lord, you are saved. But you may need some more faith. You may need your mind and your logic and those things to get out of the way. Lord, how are you going to fix this problem? I don't see it, Lord. How are you going to fix this problem? I need you to give me this. You know the enemy, what he does? He said, well, you're saved. That's good. Real nice for you. But you'll never have a husband. You'll never have a wife. You see? You'll never have this type of job. You'll never have the blessings that these other people are getting, they're not for you. You're different. Think about it. Even if you were different, God is the same. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's no respect of persons. So you may be a little strange. I'm a little strange. I am. Teresa don't like me saying that. She know I'm strange. I'm a little thrown off a little bit sometimes. You see what I'm saying? But God made me, and he loves me, and he knows me. And he takes all of that into consideration. All he wants me to do is live for him. Stop sinning, live right, and give my heart to him more and more each day until I make it in. That's all he wants me to do. May the Lord help us.
Yes, Lord.
I want to encourage you. This is, of course, the first installment. We can't touch all of those things. We need to get to some of these cases where God did some the illogical. We need to talk about that. And so we'd be here till tomorrow doing those things. But I want you to know, illness, that's nothing new to God.
Right.
When Jesus Christ was here and he was walking on this earth, they bring somebody to him, Jesus, Jesus, heal so-and-so. Healed. Straight like that. Then it would be large groups of people. He'll bless them all. Heal them all.
Yes.
Nothing new to God.
Right.
Nothing new to his son. This is the one that's advocating. Jesus, the one that died for you, is the one that's on the right-hand side of God, and he's advocating on your behalf. When you pray, he's hearing your prayer, and he's telling the Father, hey, bless this brother, bless this sister. I believe they want to do right. They're trying to do right. I know they're struggling, but have mercy on them and help them out. Give them some grace. They, in the end, they're going to do right.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You see? So to me it's impossible, but to God, that's where he works. All of this. So you want to talk about logical and illogical? All of this don't make no sense. We are on a ball of land spinning around in a universe that is endless, literally. You can't see the things. The light that's reaching your eyes, according to science, the light that is reaching your eyes, most of those stars are already dead. It's just the light reaching your eyes now. Yeah. This is God's deal.
Yes.
And so what we can do is we can put our hand firmly in his hand, yes, and trust him. And what I want to encourage you to do is begin to do it. If you haven't been doing it or you've been struggling, you went back, whatever you did, if you need to repent, repent. All right, start there. It takes an act of faith to do that. Yes. God's going to forgive you. He's going to. He wants to.
Yes. Yes.
But once he has done that, when you see where you have went wrong, this issue, what he does, the enemy comes in, he says, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, or this might not happen, this ain't going to happen, whatever. And we began to lose faith and trust and confidence in God. And so, right on the heels of that, what he does is he begins to present you with other options. These are viable options. Why don't you do that? Oh, wow. In these options, I'm actually disobeying God some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And that's how it gets us.
Right.
But what we can do is, like I said before, you've struggled, you've fallen down, you whatever the case may be. I want you to start there. If that's your situation, go to an altar prayer, tell God all about it. Ask him to forgive you. And then where your areas of faith and trust have been affected, I want you to begin to attack that.
Right.
You can't attack it by yourself. Attack it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Get you 2-3 saints to pray with you and pray for you.
Amen.
I'm talking about on a daily basis, not just today, but do you know I'm my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
I am my sister's keeper. If you're struggling with something, that means that there could be a hole on the Western Front and on the battlefield.
Right.
I need that part strong, too.
Yeah.
And so it's my concern, too. I want to help you because I want you to do well, because when you're out there doing battle, I'm partaking in that victory as well.
Right. Amen.
But in the same way, if you're taking losses, I'm affected by that.
Yes.
You see? May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you, if you've had a problem, you've messed up, ask God to forgive you. Exercise your faith in that way. If you got a problem, I'm one of those people. I like logic. I like things that make sense. But what I needed was God to help me with my spiritual logic.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that I went through this situation. It didn't make no sense. I called upon the name of the Lord. He answered again and again and again and again. Why not now?
Right.
So now I have learned that I can trust God. I have learned that God is faithful to me. He's going to take care of whatever it is that I'm facing.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I need to exercise faith here also,
yeah,
by the help of the Lord. And so God wants to do that for us. May the Lord help us. If we have a secondary installment, maybe the Lord will let us get into some of the mighty and great works that he has done, especially those that were completely and entirely improbable and against what would make sense in our own minds.
Yes.
Maybe the Lord will bless us in that way. If not, I hope that you get at least the fact that you need to have faith.
Yes.
However big or small, that's between you and God. As you grow and as you go, ask God to increase your faith.
Yeah.
What that means is he's going to give you opportunity to exercise your faith.
Right.
Exercise it every chance and every opportunity that you get.
Yeah.
What you're going to learn is that you can trust him.
Yeah.
You can rely upon him. God is completely, entirely reliable.
Yeah.
He's going to come through for you. He may not come when you want it, but he'll always be on time.
Yeah.
That's what the saints of old have said. And it's true. And then you just continue on, put that on repeat, and by the grace and help of God, we'll make heaven our home. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I don't want to go by myself, and so I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, go with me. I want to go. I want you to go. May the Lord bless us all. Amen.
Amen.